Sure makes you feel like you're in a video game or something, right? I love it. Those awesome tunes are Cruisin' for Goblins by the amazing Kevin MacLeod. Thank you so much for coming around and giving Random Ventures of an Indie Traveler a listen. I'm your host, Casey, and here you can tune into my own awesome adventures from different interesting areas around the States and other countries also. And some of these you will, of course, know about, and others will possibly be very new to you. I'll also sometimes chat about fun facts, history, culture, and bizarre mythical beings or creatures around these areas.
Mythical creature alert! Rawr!
Our interesting mythical creature today isn't exactly the soft, cuddly type, though. Have they ever been in this show? Part of another lumberjack's tale, Augurinos. They like drier regions, so Colorado is definitely home to them. Because they don't much like wetter regions, they would bore holes into dams as well as irrigation ditches in order to drain out all the water. This would destroy the hard work done in the first place. These creatures have been said to resemble worms of the gigantic corkscrew-like indestructible superworm type, given the name Devil's Corkscrews. Like, if worms were superheroes, then Augurinos would be the superheroes of the worm realm. Or maybe they'd be the villains of the worm realm. That sounds a bit more like it. It was suggested by folklorist Ronald L. Ives that the belief in these creatures could have actually stemmed from paleontological misinterpretation. So maybe people just didn't really know exactly what was going on. We all can get confused at times, right? We're only human, after all. Though the legend says that they would build tunnels, and the Augurino Tunnels, which are an intense network of tunnels beneath the western states in North America, they make it convenient to find their newest place in which to cause destruction next. Ooh, I think I know where the movie Tremors got its storyline from. Definitely is a good one. Calling all science-y fans, you're going to have a blast with this one. If you're not into science, it's still pretty darn cool, and I would totally suggest sticking around anyways. Alright, so we're gonna go back millions of years ago. One of southern Colorado's most fascinating and unique formations was created by a supervolcano that existed millions of years ago. This wasn't just any supervolcano, no. But this was the biggest one to have ever existed. Its ancient eruptions was definitely one for the books. Summer Coon Volcano was part of the San Juan Mountains volcanic region. So you're probably wondering, what makes a volcano super? I know I was thinking the exact same thing. Don't worry, I got you covered. So the U.S. Geological Survey says... Wow, wait, did you feel like you were on a game show for a second there? I kind of did. Anyways, the survey says... A volcano is considered super if it had at least one explosion that released more than 240 cubic miles of material. I know. Let me put it in actual, like, easy to understand English, all right? So, this is serious business. This would be enough to fill more than two Lake Erie's worth. Now that's one heck of a blast, if you ask me. The highest rank on the volcanic explosivity scale is 8. And they say that in the past 36 million years, scientists have noted 42 volcanic eruptions that reached 7 or higher on this epic scale of proportions. So a caldera is what happens when most of what was inside the volcano has erupted and is outside of it now, and the earth was once part of the volcano is actually collapsed onto its empty self. This area I'm talking about today is around Gunnison and Rio Grande National Forest land. And the caldera area is an incredible 22 miles wide and 62 miles long. Just imagine what this volcano must have looked like 27.8 million years ago before it erupted. Amazingly enough, it tipped the volcano explosivity index scale and was beyond the highest ranking of the scale. Yes, La Caldera volcano kicks the butt of any other volcano ever known to human on this planet anyways. Oh, it kicked it. The La Garita caldera was super rich in silicon. Who would have thought the material you need for some certain body work came from a volcano? Just joking. But when it's like this, it's very thick, and the resulting explosion is going to be different than volcanoes that have the easy, smooth-flowing lava. When you have this thicker, yogurt-like lava, it's also called felsic lava, that's when you're really in trouble. Not to say other volcanoes aren't dangerous. They all definitely are. Both well-known volcanoes, Mount Vesuvius around Pompeii and Mount St. Helens in Washington, had the felsic lava. So you know just how powerful it truly can be. Even Yellowstone has felsic lava, and its eruption was at 8 on this volcanic scale. Now, I don't know about you, but I surely wouldn't want to touch it with a 100-mile pole. Let's do a little comparison, shall we? If you're not driving or operating heavy machinery, feel free to close your eyes for full effect and to help you paint this epic picture of monstrous proportions. You can trust me. I won't pop out and scare you or anything. I'll tell you when you can open your eyes again, alright? So picture this. Mount St. Helens was devastating, indeed, and its ash absolutely covered the entire state of Washington and beyond. The eruption of the Lagunita volcano was somewhere around 5,000 times bigger than Mount St. Helens. For at least the entire 100-mile radius on all sides of the volcano, anything living was no longer alive. After the intense explosion and fallen ash, it went even beyond 100 miles from the volcano as well, and it all would have been seriously affected. The ash cloud would have likely covered many states' worth, though it's not exactly known just how far. Scientists say it had around 1,000 cubic meters of ash, and that's enough to fill Lake Michigan. The deposit known as Fish Canyon Tuff covered at least 11,000 square miles, or for my listeners across the pond, 28,000 kilometers squared, or squared kilometers. Though it folded much more than this. But to help with our comparison here, Peter W. Lippman, who is a scientist emeritus within the U.S. Geological Survey's Volcano Hazards Team, he wrote an article about the Lagunita volcano for the Earth magazine, and in it he said, quote, "If Lagunita's top-blowing event filled a 35-gallon trash can, the 1980 Mount St. Helens eruption amounted to a cup of espresso. The Colorado volcanoes were to modern volcanoes what the Great Pyramid of Giza is to a pup tent." Unquote. Now you can open your eyes if you had them shut. Did you paint a good picture? I hope that helped. I know it helps me all the time. Apparently, Lagunita was part of a volcano gang of 18 volcanoes that erupted somewhere between 20 to 30 million years ago, leaving a string of calderas in their wake. Mother Nature is quite incredible. What do you think? The landscape is not what it once was millions of years ago. There were once glaciers. Apparently, parts of Colorado were ocean at one point in time. There were glaciers and then streams formed in the melting of said glaciers. If you compare this to a crazy party, then Earth had the party of its lifetime among all of these crazy changes. But sadly, with all these changes, some history was lost in between. As scientists have spent decades and much time working to put the pieces of this massive puzzle together, it's amazing how one bit can lead to another, much like the string of calderas left in the wake of these incredible monster volcanoes. This eruption was the second most energetic event here on our planet since the Cretaceous-Paleogene extinction event 66 million years ago. That massive asteroid, as you probably know, is the reason for the mass extinction. Ugh, poor dinosaurs. I just love dinosaurs. I'm so sad. Asteroids can definitely be jerks, am I right? Anyways. Maybe the asteroid gang had some real beef with dinosaurs. Who knows? But this asteroid was the same as the crazy power of 240 teratons of TNT. And this asteroid had about 100 times more power than the Lagunita volcanic explosion. Talk about a blast from the past, but not really the good kind, if you know what I mean. Something important to know, if you're already thinking of packing your bags to leave the country, is it's absolutely considered extinct, and it will not come back to grace the country with its presence. Actually, would it grace the country? I don't know. I don't think that would grace the country. That would probably put it in absolute obliteration. So it's not going to do that. Don't worry about it. Going to the Lagunita caldera, the geology of the area is awesome and really took its form around 33 million years ago during a period of explosive volcanic activity where insanely massive amounts of volcanic debris and ash were released way up into the air. When you get heat and pressure combined, you get very hard rock that was once ash. Then you add millions of years and natural erosion of softer material, and boom! Voila! You get the gorgeous landscape that graces the area today. And yes, that is proper use of grace. And believe me, when I say it is absolutely incredible here, there are some of the most breathtaking sunrises and sunsets that I've ever laid my eyes on. It's absolutely no joke. If you don't believe me, you totally have to see for yourself someday, and you can also see in my thumbnail, as a little bit of a teaser. For me, this area has been home for a good portion of my life. Many kids have jungle gyms and, you know, monkey bars, things like that, to play on when growing up, but I have these amazing massive boulders, crazy cool hikes, gorgeous cliffs all around, surrounding my home. And that was my playground. Definitely an amazing place to grow up around. La ventana, or if you want to learn a Spanish word for the day, in English that means window. The natural arch was naturally formed from a volcanic dike. It is a natural formed window from this crazy supervolcano. And when you hike up to this area, you can see gorgeous terrain and rock from millions of years ago from this supervolcano's major blast. And it's definitely an awesome hike. If you park your car at the bottom, you can easily walk up, but just be mindful that this is an area where rattlesnakes enjoy and can be around, so definitely be careful for that. And also, there are some cactus patches, so, you know, just watch out for these things. It's just something common in the deserty area that it is today, so it comes with that territory. I personally love the challenge, and getting to go up and looking through the arch is such a fun adventure. I know if you're into hiking, and even if you're not so into it, this is a little bit of a mini hike, so it's definitely enjoyable. You'll absolutely have an amazing time hiking up to this beautiful window through the rocks, and you get an awesome view of the gorgeous landscape surrounding it. If you're lucky, then you might have a glimpse at deer, antelope, rabbits, or coyotes. They do live in this area as well, so you may get to see them along the way, if you're lucky. You can check out the whole Penetete Canyon and the Elephant Rocks along with Wheeler Geologic Region. Keep in mind, Wheeler is definitely very rugged, so four-wheel drive vehicles are pretty necessary here. But if you go to Penetete Canyon, then a car can do the trick. Just be careful. And regardless of where you go to see this epic supervolcano and the fragments from it, be sure to be mindful of the area and those that are living in there. Because respect is everything, my friends. Each of these places all make for some really awesome outdoor adventures. And imagine that these were once part of that massive hunk of a supervolcano millions of years ago. So awesome to think about, really, when you actually take a moment and close your eyes and picture it in your mind. Have you ever been to this beautiful area? Or have you been to another amazing area that maybe you'd like me to check out someday? You can reach me at random, and I would love to hear from you. And you can reach me at randomindietraveler@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to check out my Instagram page at randomindietraveler and YouTube at Random Ventures of an Indie Traveler. Be sure to come back next week and tune in for another amazing adventure. I know you will absolutely love it. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and I'll catch you the next one.